Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I remember Carolina as our roster got better towards some of those better years we had. It was, are we going to spend the sixth-round pick on a guy that's really going to make our roster? And so you do weigh that, and part of that will be as we get through this process in March and April, how deep is the draft? How deep is it truly? But some of that will come down to medical as well. There will be guys that we have good grades on that we would like to take, and our medical guys have major concerns on them. So you do want to see how deep the draft is before you decide how far you can probably go before you're drafting guys that you're going, man, this guy's probably just going to be a practice squad guy at best.
I'm ready to talk Eli. That's Brandon Bean on the Senior Bowl. Eli Manning.
Okay.
Some fun stats on him. Some numbers on him. And whether or not he goes to the Hall of Fame. He's definitely going to the Hall of Fame, right?
Yep.
He'll definitely go in.
You can debate this, and we can, which I'm fine with it, because I've never looked at him as a guy that I was afraid of or feared as another quarterback in the league, you know? But those voters, older voters too, by the way, and
QB wins.
He won two Super Bowls. Yep. He beat Brady twice. He's got two Super Bowl MVPs. He's top 10 in pass yards. He's top 10 in passing touchdowns.
Maybe if the Super Bowls are against
somebody else.
Yeah,
he beat Brady twice.
Beat Brady twice.
Yes.
And stopped the unbeaten season.
Look, I think if he wins two Super Bowls, he's probably getting in no matter what. But
maybe
they beat New England twice, and one time they were unbeaten is a big factor.
I think it matters.
I would be
to the voters.
I don't think he's a great quarterback. I really don't. It's funny. Like I said, you know what? This is just a gut thing for me. But like when we talk about you, we'll every now and then bring up, hey, is this guy a Hall of Famer? One of the things I think about was when my team had to face him, did you like, how much did you really worry about? Oh my God, this guy, like Drew Brees, whatever. Never thought that about Eli Manning. So I don't think he's
probably
a great player.
You probably didn't even think it in the playoff seasons when he was on those runs.
Right. But he's going in. I'd be stunned if the voters that are currently on the Hall of Fame selection committee do not put him in the Hall. And if they didn't, my guess is, you know, his numbers aren't eye-popping. His record, he's a 500 quarterback. You have a stat of the year nominee you're going to share with us. But
it's
I
not
think,
about this, though.
Okay.
That's different. I have a stat of the day, though.
The Super Bowl wins carry a huge amount of weight for the voters.
There's one way to say everything that you're saying. Scott Pianowski tweeted this yesterday. Scott Pianowski, who joins us during football season from Yahoo Sports. He's our fantasy and football guru guy. Two championship playoff runs, right? Great, good. That's awesome. Brian Mazurowski points out, by the way, that Eli never won another playoff game. He had those
outside of those 2 years,
outside
really?
Outside of those two runs, he never had another playoff win.
Wow, how about that?
But here's what I think sums up exactly what you're saying. Because Eli made the playoffs six times, one and done four times, and two Super Bowls.
Wow.
But here's the stat.
Six times in 16 years. That's not that good.
It's not that good. It's not that bad. But here it is. In his entire career, which is how many seasons?
16 seasons.
16 seasons. Eli Manning never received one single MVP vote.
Wow. Okay. Even in the years when he won the two Super Bowls.
Not even a seventh place vote. Wow. Or whatever. No, that's not how it works.
Right.
Chris Johnson is what I'm trying to say. Chris Johnson got a vote and finished in seventh 1 year. He had 1,200 yards rushing or whatever. Eli Manning never got one. Not once did a person say, this guy's been the most valuable player in the league this year.
Well, if you put together a list of the top quarterbacks of his era, and I haven't really thought this through. I mean, you can easily put Brady, his brother, Roethlisberger, Brees,
Rivers,
Rodgers.
Yes.
This covers some of Favre. Right?
Sure.
I mean, I think you might be hard pressed to put Eli in the top 10 in his era.
Right.
Right? So he's not a great quarterback. But again, and by the way, the six playoffs, he missed the 10 times.
He missed the playoffs 10 times.
He was not in a division with Brady or Roethlisberger. Like, who's the, right? He was not in the division where you'd say, well, guys, he was stuck in the same division with so-and-so. It's really hard to make the playoffs.
Tony Romo for a while, who...
Okay.
There are plenty of people, I mean, if you want to say the stats guys, will tell you that Tony Romo was a lot better quarterback than Eli Manning ever was, but, you know, he didn't win a playoff. He didn't win a Super Bowl.
Some of Donovan McNabb, right, I guess, in Philly, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's not like he was in a division where he had to battle it out for the bulk of his career against a Favre, a Brady, a Roethlisberger. He was in the NFC East. I can't believe it's 6 out of 16. But I still think there's no doubt he gets in because he won two Super Bowls.
Me too. His comparables, according to Pro Football Reference, similar quality career. As it's over, Roethlisberger, Moon, Bradshaw, Bob Greasy, Drew Bledsoe, Donovan McNabb, Carson Palmer, Joe Montana, Jim Kelly. So you have some yes and some no. And John Haddle, who's that?
John Haddle.
John Haddle.
Former Chargers quarterback, what, the 60s, I think? Old AFL guy.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think there's no doubt he gets in. No doubt. But I'll listen all day to the argument that he probably shouldn't.
Yeah. I think it's funny. You think about the Super Bowls and how the Super Bowls carry weight. Before last week, before Green Bay played San Francisco, I don't know who wrote the article, but I remember reading something about, you know, what's at stake in this game. And one of the things I brought up was Aaron Rodgers, who I think most of us would say is a better quarterback than Eli Manning.
A second Super Bowl.
A second Super Bowl would cement his Hall of Fame status. Now, I still think he gets in the Hall of Fame, but here they are talking, that's the weight of the Super Bowl. And if you win two of those things, I mean, there aren't a ton of quarterbacks who've won multiple Super Bowls. He's one of, I think, maybe 10 or something like that, whatever. He's one of five that have two Super Bowl MVPs. I think that carries a tremendous amount of weight with the voters in that room when they get together and debate Eli Manning. And someone will point out, you know, the things we've just talked about, that he's a 500 quarterback. And someone will point out probably what you just brought up, you know, where was he in MVP voting? And we can bring up the comparable list, stack them up against the players at his position, right? We do this all the time, no matter what player we're talking about. When we were talking about Randy Moss and T.O., who were the other receivers in their era and how do they stack up? And Eli does not stack up well at quarterbacks. But as I said, at the end of the day, I think those voters will put a ton of weight on he beat Brady twice in the Super Bowl. End of story.
I've been trying to find the MVP votes and, you know, other seasons. Who got votes? You know, because Eli Manning never got a single MVP vote. There was a year that Derek Carr got six. Derek Carr, six votes because he had a good year.
Yeah. I was just trying to think.
Went 12-4, and there's a quote here from Gary Myers about Derek Carr. He took what has been the most dysfunctional team and won 12 games, the most for the Raiders since 2000. It's tough to kind of evaluate a guy like, oh, you're the MVP because your organization's been bad for 12 years. Like, that's a little weird. But
that'd be like Baker Mayfield in an MVP discussion if he turns the Browns around.
Dak Prescott has an MVP vote to his name. Eli Manning, not one. In his entire career. I mean, in the Super Bowl, that's different. But just regular season, league MVP, not one.
Yeah. And it's funny. I think, again, part of the discussion with Manning, I was just pulling up his year-by-year stats to see, like, what's the best year he had. And he had, let's see, his career high in touchdowns would have been 27. And that was a year where they went 7-9. How about that? Oh, no, that's interceptions. His career high in touchdowns would have been, he had a 35-touchdown year. But I never looked at him like you'd worry about playing Roethlisberger and Brady and Peyton and Breeze and Rodgers and Rivers. And I know I'm leaving probably a couple other guys out. But whenever the Bills faced the Giants with Eli Manning, I don't mean last year when you knew he was shot, but whenever the Bills faced the Giants with Eli Manning, even though they lost him a couple times at least, just never really thought that he was one of the best in the game.
I want to read you a text here because we're talking about playoff success, and that's what Manning has, right? He has two runs where he was incredible. He had great playoff success. A texter asks this question, or says, writes in, the conversation I'd like to hear is how horrible of a playoff quarterback Jim Kelly was. The Bills went in the playoffs as far because of team talent, despite Kelly's horrific playoff stats. Among the all-time low, 27 interceptions, 21 touchdowns, for one thing, of course. Maybe this isn't a popular thing to say.
Yeah.
Well, do people have that memory or that sort of evaluation of Kelly?
And here's why. They're not in the playoffs without Jim Kelly at quarterback. No offense to Frank Reich. I mean, he was the trigger of the offense.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even have told you. You could have asked me what were his playoff stats. I couldn't have told you.
21 touchdowns.
Didn't even know.
28 picks.
So he's a minus in terms of touchdown interception ratio.
Yep.
The franchise doesn't do what it does without Kelly as the quarterback.
Well, I mean, I think he's just saying as a playoff quarterback,
yeah,
this is the texter, that it wasn't as good as how it was in the regular season.
True, but they were the best team in the AFC. They dominated their conference. They dominated their division. And here we are talking about Eli. Like, who did Eli have to worry about in the division? Maybe Tony Romo's the best guy. Kelly was playing here when Marino was in Miami.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you knew you had to deal with them in your division twice a year and then played them a few times in the playoffs. And he would have beaten them, I think, at least one time, if not twice. Anyway, I'll bet you the playoff stats, the playoff issue would have been, but he never won a Super Bowl. I'll bet you the 21-27 never came up for discussion in the room because they don't do what they did in the 90s. They don't have this marvelous offense and the K-gun, even with the great weapons. Thurman's here, Andre's here, Lofton's here for a little bit, all these different weapons. Extremely talented football team, obviously. Kelly was the guy who was the trigger. He was the guy behind that offense. And whatever. I didn't realize he had a minus, but I bet you it never even came up for discussion in the room because he's the guy that drove the franchise.
Yep.
That offense was about Kelly running the no huddle. And with Eli, again, you can't even say, you know, with Eli statistically, you can't even point to a year where people looked at, or a couple seasons or a few seasons where people looked at the Giants offense and said, wow, look at that offense. You know, and how hard it is to stop the New York Giants offense. Nobody ever said that about them, even in the years they won the Super Bowls.
I'm way deep in
Pro
Football Reference.
I didn't realize he's 8-0 in the two playoff years, and then 0-4 in the other 4 years he made the playoffs. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm way deep in Pro Football Reference. You know, if you get lost in here, they have a Pro Football Quarterback Hall of Fame monitor. And what that basically is a metric designed to estimate a player's chances of making the Hall of Fame using value, Pro Bowls, All Pros, championships, various milestones, and they list the top 250 rated quarterbacks. This basically is how likely are you to make the Hall of Fame? And the average quarterback, you know, here's the average Hall of Fame quarterback, and here are the guys that are in. And they put Kelly as 42nd. Ranked 42nd among quarterbacks, and they put Eli 21st.
Wow. I would never take Eli over Kelly.
It does value championships.
Right.
And he's got two. So, you know, there are other things, Pro Bowls and All-Pro and all that. And, you know, Eli was four times to the Pro Bowl. Jim Kelly, I'm going to find all this for you. Jim Kelly to the Pro Bowl was five times. First team All-Pro, Kelly won. I don't think Eli was ever first team All-Pro.
It's interesting you said about valuing championships. I want to get to some calls too, 803-0550 to join us. And I was thinking about coaches. Kelly gets in without winning a Super Bowl. Got there, never won it, of course. Marv got in. I mean, you know, how much, in this case, I think they're going to put a value on the championships for Eli Manning. But sometimes you can get in without winning them. Marv got into the Super Bowl. And look, as much as I love Marv, you can absolutely make a case. Does a coach go in without winning a Super Bowl? Does he deserve to be one of the greatest coaches of all time enshrined in the Hall of Fame without a championship?
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid, if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, he's got over 200 wins. He's one of the winningest coaches, right, in his era, but he hasn't won a Super Bowl. Does he go into the Hall of Fame if he doesn't win?
I think he still does.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I think there are different ways to look at this. I think it's the reverse of what we're talking about with Eli. Eli, I think, is going in because he won two Super Bowls. But to the point about Kelly, you can go in without winning a championship. And if you want to have a debate about whether that's stupid, okay, I'm up to listening for that. Maybe you should say, hey, you know, unless you have like eye-popping, like crazy numbers, like Dan Marino numbers, you know, you got to win a championship to get to be consideration for in the Hall of Fame. I'd really be surprised if he doesn't go in.
We've got a good text here. Bob writes in that, Brayton, this is on you. How many times have the Bills played Eli in the Howard picks the Bills era? I'd like to know how many times Howard picked the Bills to beat him.
Probably
this only... This is a new metric, right? Hall of Fame. All right. Well, Howard Simon picked the Bills to beat you, you know, 5 out of 7 times that you played.
We wouldn't have done it. How many years have we done it? Wouldn't have been that long.
It's been a while.
He had this year.
You probably played him three, four times.
That we've done. I mean, remember, they only played once every 4 years.
Yeah.
We've only done pick the Bills for how many years? That's my whole point. I don't think we've done it
and I'm not
five,
sure if,
six
I'm not
years.
Sure if I can archive back the last
well,
time
nobody
they
track.
Played.
I don't actually expect it to. It's
previous
okay.
producers didn't track this if we
Hold
were
on,
doing
let me
it.
Let me look at the tracker from this year.
I picked them to beat Eli. I know I picked them to win the Giants game, and there would never have been anything different than the Bills beating the Giants, so don't worry about the tracker. they would have that would have always been a win for the Bills. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. Craig in Rochester, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. I've always kind of figured this would become a very interesting debate. My thing with Eli is he had two really great moments, which the moment should be enshrined in the Hall of Fame, but I think the only Hall of Fame, truthfully, that gets it right is baseball, where you have to be great. I think Eli was good, and that's fine. He should be in the Giants Hall of Fame. The Super Bowl moment should absolutely be, you know, part of the history of football, but I feel like we're celebrating, well, he was good, not great. That's what I think the standard should be, and truthfully, of that group of three, Roethlisberger is the only one that has the playoff success and, you know, the career. Rivers doesn't have the playoff success. Some of it's not his fault. Where Eli has the playoff success, but like you said, I never feared him. To me, he was always really good, and I don't know why that's a problem to say he was good and he's not a Hall of Famer. Can't that be the same? I think we're weakening our Hall of Fames when we put people like him in because he had two great moments. He's one better Joe Flacco Super Bowl run better at this point.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you said it right. You know, Roethlisberger is a slam dunk.
Yep.
Rivers. I don't think so.
That's right. I was thinking.
And Manning should probably be no. But again, I really think it matters not just that he won the two Super Bowls, but that he beat Brady and that he stopped the undefeated season. I've never been in the room for when you make the presentation,
right.
But this is the New York Giants, and it is one of the most memorable Super Bowls ever, and it's clutch drives, and it's Brady. You are the Brady beater. You know, as Tom Brady's story gets told in the Hall of Fame, there's the one guy that beat him twice
in the Super Bowl.
And I do think that will rate for voters, and that will get him in.
Like, I think, put yourself in the room, okay? Two names come up. Let's say Rivers retires this offseason. So they both come up in the same year for the first year of eligibility. Eli Manning and Philip Rivers. Who do you think is the longer debate?
I think Eli is the longer debate because I think Rivers gets dismissed quicker.
Okay, see, I was going to say Rivers is the longer debate because he doesn't have playoff success. And Eli does go in because of the playoff success.
Yeah.
Rivers' numbers are better than Eli's, right? Statistically?
Yeah. Rivers is a tough one.
Yeah. But he has one AFC Conference Championship appearance, I believe. So in large part, his playoffs have been a failure. I think if the two come up together, Eli goes in, and there's a long debate about Rivers, even though you might say he's a better quarterback than Eli Manning.
What do you got? Pro Football Reference Hall of Fame Monitor puts Rivers ahead of Manning.
I think he's a better quarterback than Manning, but he doesn't have playoff success. So again, it's hard because we are trying to get into the minds of the voters, and I don't know how they think about this stuff, but my guess is if those two guys came up together, Eli would go in before Philip Rivers. Hey, maybe Eli is one of these things where he doesn't go in his first year of eligibility. He goes in eventually, but depending on who's in the class that year, I don't know. I don't know how they think about that.
Well, the Giants as a franchise have been around forever, right? Mm-hmm. Very old.
Yep.
And he'll be their first offensive Hall of Famer. Frank Gifford? Does he play?
I can't remember who would have made it in the. I'm trying to think back to receivers, running backs, anything.
Maybe their second offensive Hall of Famer. It's Frank Gifford's in. He was a running back, right? I mean, Frank Gifford.
Yeah. What? Y.A. Tittle? Wasn't he like a Giants quarterback?
Okay. So then the first Giants offensive Hall of Famer in 50 years?
Really? Yeah. No receivers, running backs, tight ends.
There used to be a stat on that I knew about the Giants. But they do, for a franchise that has existed forever, you would think they have more offensive Hall of Famers, but they don't.
So they have more defensive Hall of Famers, including LT.
They do have Y.A. Tittle, apparently.
Nice. I wouldn't remember that except
Lawrence Taylor.
So that's
good. Harry Carson.
Who I'm trying to think. Anybody else? Strahan in? No, is he not yet, right?
Not
Carl
yet.
Banks wouldn't be in. I'm trying to think of other defensive players that would have come through. That's interesting. I didn't realize it was 50
years. Fran Tarkenton. Okay. So, yeah.
But I thought him more with Minnesota than.
I mean, Kurt Warner played for the Giants.
Yeah,
and he's in. It doesn't really count. Yeah. No. It's been a long time since they had an offensive player go in or play.
803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. We'll take your calls on that. We'll also talk some hockey with Martin Baron when we get back. We are broadcasting live from the Dunn Tire Studios. Dunn Tire, it's a done deal.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's talk Sabres hockey. Here's former Sabres goalie Marty Baron. Marty Baron's appearance on WGR is brought to you by Paul William Belt, your power of attorney. By Jim's Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. And by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
Get to Marty in a moment as we gear up for the NHL All-Star break. Headlines: Zion Williamson's debut went great. 22 points, 7 rebounds in limited minutes. He scored 16 straight points. He went 4-for-4 from 3. It was a fun time. Senior Bowl practices continue. Coverage at WGR550.com. Eli Manning announces his retirement tomorrow. 16 years, 2 Super Bowls. By the way, anytime anybody says Oakland Raiders ever again, flick them in the ear. They're now officially the Las Vegas Raiders.
I'm going to have to. Is that a fine? Because it's going to take a little while to get used to.
Just going to make sure you know they are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
The Raiders were born in Oakland and played 13 seasons in L.A. Both cities will always be part of our DNA. But today, we begin a new chapter in our storied history. For today, January 22nd, 2020, we are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
Mark Davis.
I'm now finally not calling the Chargers San Diego, so I'm going to need a little time on this one.
I'm struggling with the Chargers still. But they're going to move again anyway, so I'm not committing to it until I know they're staying
going
there.
Going back to San Diego.
Austin Matthews is going to miss the NHL All-Star Game. Columbus won their 6th in a row. Bonna lost at number 7, Dayton. And those are your headlines.
Headlines brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Start the new year with an incredible lease deal for the number one Mazda dealer in Western New York, Northtown Mazda. Go to northtownmazda.com. 803-0550 to join us. Get to more of your calls on our discussions about Eli Manning. But we're going to the Western Hotline to be joined. No bye week for this guy. To be joined by Martin Baron, who is with us right now. Marty, good morning. It's Howard and Jeremy. Happy Thursday. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Although, is it still the St. Louis Rams, or do I need to change that too?
Yeah, and it's not the Quebec Nordique. Although maybe it helps if you actually change the last name too. That might help you remember the new city instead of, you know, it's not like they became the Colorado Nordique.
Yeah, I'm sure for a while it was the Atlanta Flames, and then it became the Calgary Flames, and you know everybody was confused because it stayed the Flames. Like the Atlanta Thrashers became the Winnipeg Jets, so it was easy to make that transition. I'm still so lost with San Diego. You guys just said San Diego. I still always say San Diego Chargers, and then my son catches me and he says, "Dad, they're not in San Diego anymore." I'm like, "Oh yeah, you're right."
Hey, Marty, I'm curious. You and I had texted yesterday, and actually this was not on the list of things I was going to bring up, so I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball here. I was at TSN's website this morning. They have their top 50 at midseason, right? So Jack Eichel comes in 6th overall on the list, and he's going to be in the All-Star game. The other day we were talking about, what was it, the poll of the players in the Athletic, and Eichel got 1% of the vote in terms of best player in the NHL right now. What do you get a sense? Is Eichel... maybe he's not getting national media acclaim because the Sabres are never in the playoffs and they're not that relevant. But what is the sense around the league of Eichel's abilities? Do you get a feeling that he's considered one of the top guys in the league?
Absolutely. And I did partake in that poll. So I get an email from the boys at TSN and they say, "Do you want to do a top 50? And I said, "Absolutely." And it's, I'm telling you, it is not an easy thing to do, is to put the top 50 players in the National Hockey League right now from 1 to 50. You know that some players are in the same grouping. And I think when you look at Jack Eichel, you can put him in the grouping of the best players in the National Hockey League right now. But to say, okay, where does he fit? Does he fit at 2, yeah, at 5, at 7, at 10? It's definitely a tough exercise to do. So I had Jack Eichel at 5. For me, I had McDavid, Pasternak, MacKinnon, Dreisaitl, and then I put Jack Eichel. But when you look at the rest of the league, you look at guys like, you know, Panarin in New York, you look at Malkin and what he's done in Pittsburgh without Crosby, Brad Marchand, you look at Matthews and Kane, Ovechkin. I mean, there's so many great players. So to have Jack Eichel at 6 on that list from TSN, to me, it just means he's elite. He's gotten to the point where now, he used to be falling around 12 to 15, 12 to 20 all the times. Now he's gone to the top 5, 6. I think that's elite, and that's there to stay. That's, you know, I think that's going to be like that for quite a few years now.
In terms of his line mates, I want to ask you a little bit about Sam Reinhart. So it's possible coming out of the bye week and the All-Star game break that Jeff Skinner could be back for the Sabres, and then we'll have this discussion until Olofsson gets back about maybe putting Skinner up there. But what about Reinhart? At times we've talked about, I know Instigators has also brought up the notion of moving Reinhart off of that line to help drive a second line in scoring, since the GM had said at some point he believed Reinhart could drive another line off the wing. Would you move Reinhart off of the Eichel line coming out of the break?
It depends what your role, what your goal is if you move Sam Reinhart off of the Eichel line. I mean, I know what Jason Botterill is saying, and I know what Ralph Kruger eventually may try to do, is to say, okay, well, we're going to try to get some production out of another line, another two lines, and we need to spread the guys around. And, you know, you look at Edmonton does it with McDavid and Dreisaitl. They'll split them together, split them so there's production. Crosby, Malkin is the same thing. You know, even seen with Taze and Kane back in the days with Chicago. Do you put them together or do you split them apart to have more depth in your lineup? The problem is, I know, and I don't have a crystal ball, but I know what Sam Reinhart on a different line looks like. It doesn't look like a guy that has 41 points in 49 games and could get to 28, 29, 30 goals. It's, the production is going to be less than that. The pace is not going to be the same as when you play with one of the most dynamic player on your line. So I already know what that's going to look like. What I was hoping for early in the season is, with Sam being on Jack's power play unit, if Sam could still get the power play production, and then the even strength production is not going to be as high as, you know, when he's playing with Jack, but still you would get some type of production at 5-on-5. Now you're still talking a player that can get 55 to 60 points and get his 25 goals, and playing on a different line. But until recently, Sam on the power play was not getting, you know, very much production at all. I mean, he's still, when you look at his power play production, he's only got 10 points, 4 goals. You know, early in the season, it was all Dahlin, Olofsson, Eichel. Yep. The three guys at the top of the formation were getting all the power play points, and Sam and Jeff Skinner were getting nothing. So if you want to split Sam and give him a chance to drive a line, as they say and they use, then for me, the power play production needs to be at an ultimate high. Like, if you want to make up for some of the production you're not going to have with Jack Eichel, you have to be able to get it somewhere else, and it has to be on the power play with Sam, and we're seeing a little bit of it. But I don't know that it's going to be enough to make up the difference.
Well, Marty, I would think one of the reasons to do it, to split them up, is Sam's about to hit another contract, right? He's an RFA. So, you know, if you think the production will drop, well, let's find out. If it does, maybe save a little money there. And if it doesn't drop, then great. We've seen, the GM has said he believes Reinhart can drive his own line. So I think for the last 35 games, a smart thing to do would be to make him do it. Drive your own line. If you do it, great. Here's your contract. You're going to get paid. And if you don't, well, we can still offer you a contract, of course. He's an RFA. And you might save a little money in the process, because It strikes me that, especially in seasons once they might be out of the mix, playing your contract year players with Jack Eichel might not be the best idea. It's a way to spend more money than maybe you have to.
Yeah, and I totally understand what you're saying, but I can guarantee you that neither Jason Botchel or Ralph Kruger are talking about, oh, well, it's Sam's contract year. We're going to have to think about what we're paying him next year, and maybe his production is too high for our liking right now. We're going to have to pay him a lot of money. That's probably not happening. That conversation is probably not happening. And also, the Sabres are, you know, yeah, they're 10 points behind Florida, 10 points behind a wild card spot right now. They're not out of the playoffs. And what you saw last year is St. Louis, after the All-Star break, going on a run where they won 9 in a row. In the month of February last year, St. Louis only lost one game in regulation, one game in overtime. So they went, I believe, was 11-1-1 in the month of February, or maybe it's 10-1-1. I have to look it up again. But if the Sabres go on this run and all of a sudden win 6, 7, 8 in a row and only lose a couple of games in the month of February, and Sam is playing with Jack, well, you're not going to take him off that line because you're still pushing for that playoff spot and you're trying to get your best players to produce and to get you wins. Now, if you don't come out of the playoff of the All-Star break with a run, and by, let's see, middle of February, you're falling 12, 13, 14, 15 points out of a playoff spot, then maybe you you have a different plan moving ahead to the rest of the season, and we may see some changes in that way.
Would that plan, let's say the latter scenario plays out, and we're about a month or so, I think, away from the trade deadline. If it doesn't go well, they don't go on a run, and you say, okay, we're not making the playoffs. What should Botchel do about Rasmus Ristolainen, who by most accounts is having a good season, but would certainly have value on the market?
No, I mean, Risto, to me, you're starting, and unfortunately it's taken a long time, and maybe it was more of a trial and errors with Ristolainen, but you're starting to see where his value is at. What we're seeing out of Risto on the power play is a valuable piece of what Ristolainen is as a player. You know, for years you saw either Zdeno Chara in that role, you saw Brett Burns playing forward, playing D, playing forward, playing D. Like, it takes time to sometimes figure out a player. So we all know right now Risto is at his best when he plays 20 minutes or less. And we've seen that because when they use 7 defensemen, there's not enough ice time for anybody to go to 24 and 25 minutes a game. And all of a sudden, Risto is very efficient in that 19, 20 minutes. You've had to try Risto as a net front presence after the power play struggle, and then after Jeff Skinner and now Victor Olofsson were sidelined with injuries, and now you're saying, oh, Risto is a really big asset for us in front of the net. He's willing to stand there and take some cross check and you know, have that net front battle, and he's really good at being strong on the rebound. He makes actually nice plays down low, so that's an asset. And You've gone to that point because it was kind of a last resort, and it's worked. So,
but do you think that's a long?
Do you
think that's, is that going to happen long term though, or is that just until they actually get 12 forwards?
I think, well, exactly. There's the thing. So, what do you want to do with Ristolainen? Do you want him to be a 19, 20 minutes defenseman, and you know, use him on the power play as a net front, and say that is our best value out of Risto? Well, then if that's what it is, make the commitment to it, and then that's fine. But if you still want to utilize Risto as a 23, 24-minute guy, and, you know, kind of, I don't want to call it mismanagement because it's because of the roster you have, you're managing him that way, then I think you got to move on. And so I've been a strong advocate of saying I think Ristolainen needs to be a piece that you use to acquire other pieces to make your team better. And I still think that may be your only piece that that you have that will do that. So you have to be able to see what value you're going to get. Now, if you don't get the value you want, then change it around and utilize Ristolainen with the best value you can get on your team, which is 19, 20 minutes. He's got a good contract. Use him in a power play. But if you're finding value around the league with Ristolainen, then I'm still okay with training him, because obviously this roster needs new players, needs some help at depth at forward. You've got enough defensemen, and I think you can make it work without Risto.
Yeah, I think one of the guys in this discussion, I wanted to ask you about Lawrence Pilot, and I think part of the Ristolainen discussion is, you know, there are different layers to it. One of them is, you know, if Botchel is going to make a trade, how many commodities are we talking about that would really get some value for you on the open market? And if you look at the young, the offensive defenseman, or what's happening on your D-core, you have Dahlin, you have Joakim Harju, who's turned out to be a really good pickup, and you have Lawrence Pilot, who's playing well, that you could move Ristolainen because you've got this other core of young players available. What do you think of Pilot since he's come back from Rochester?
Now, you see the skills that Lawrence Pilot has. You see the skating. You see the his nature as a player. He's willing to take chances, but it's not reckless chances. He's got good reads when it comes down to jumping in on the rush. Some of the offensive zone instinct that he has to sneak in on the player on the wall. It's not called a pinch, but it's more like I'm going to sit on my winger and be right there as soon as he has the puck, or getting involved in the high cycle and use his legs that way. The issue right now with Lawrence Pilot is that when he doesn't have the puck, I think the game is going a little fast. I think he's getting lost a little bit. The battles in the corner, closing in on players in the defensive side of things are not happening as consistently as you would want it to happen. But he's a young defenseman. He's going to learn. I think we've said the same thing of Rasmus Dahlin to a different degree early in the season. Well, when Rasmus Dahlin had the puck, he was really good with the puck. When he doesn't have the puck, he struggled to sometimes find his way in the defensive zone and make the correct read. So I think it's just a young defenseman trying to figure himself out. You see the quality in Lawrence Pilot's game and what he's going to obviously bring to the Sabres in the next few years. But I think we got to, although we all seem to like Lawrence Pilot, we got to realize that right now you look at his Corsi numbers and, how he drives possession and all of that, and the numbers are not that great. And so you have to maybe take a step back and say, okay, where do we need to focus on, and how long is that going to take? And I think we're still, it's not going to take a week or two. We're still months and maybe a year or two away from getting the best out of Lawrence Pilot, but it's showing some signs that it's going to get there.
Marty Brown with us on our Western Hotline, with us every Thursday at 7:30, the rest of hockey season. Marty, thanks. Always a pleasure having you on the show. Enjoy the All-Star weekend.
Oh, I'm going to definitely enjoy the All-Star weekend. I'm really looking forward to the women's 3-on-3 game at the skills competition. I think they don't like each other very much, Canada, U.S., and I think it's going to be fun. So really not looking forward to the Top Golf shooting from the stand portion of it, but whatever. We'll see what happens.
I wasn't sure about that one either, but the boys here think
it's going to be
worth a shot to try. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to see how you're going to tweet about it, Jeremy, during the skills competition, and please entertain me, because if I'm not entertained on the ice, at least I'll be entertained on social media.
All right. Thanks, Marty. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Marty's segment with us every Thursday is brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney, by Jim Stakeout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, and by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Get your calls on our Eli Manning discussion when we get back, 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Similar to what they did with Montour last year. They're not high value. It's not going to be like it's a Foley or a Kreider or Peugeot. I mean, they're not going to be in that rental game. But, you know, a couple of guys I mentioned, like Donato, you know, or Josh Anderson, if he's available. Those are some guys you can look at where, you know, they're not only going to help you this season if you do want to make a run, but they're going to help you beyond too. So they can do a little bit of both, I guess. Just how creative does Bauer want to get? What does he want to do? You know, what kind of pressure is on him too? Is his job 100% safe regardless of how the season goes and he knows that? Or does he maybe want to make a move here to show ownership? Hey, I'm still trying. Look, I got this player. Let's see how it goes next year kind of thing. It's going to be really interesting to watch, you know, how these games go with that soft schedule they have coming out of the break, and then how aggressive Bauer wants to get. Either, like you said, just to punt and sell, or maybe try to find another Montour deal where you can get a guy to help this year and next year as well.
That is Chad DeDominicis at DieByTheBlade.com yesterday. The numbers on what to do on defense, he brought up, and he wrote about this, Ristolainen has to be moved for another reason. Expansion draft.
Yeah,
you are protecting Dahlin, Joakim Harju, and
Pilot have to be protected. That
Montour.
Point.
I mean, you did trade a first round pick for Brandon Montour. One would think that he's part of your future. That means Ristolainen's unprotected. You lose him for nothing.
Yeah.
And if you want to protect him, at that point, he's only got 1 year left on his deal. Like, this is about asset management. You can like Risto. You can like. If you're not going to trade Risto, then trade Pilot or trade Montour.
One of the defensemen.
You've got to figure it out from an asset management standpoint.
Sure.
And on the Sabres and, you know, what they have to do out of this break, they can point to these 10 games. You want to set a number for what they got to do? They got to win 8.
We were talking, 14 or 16 out of 18 points in the 9 games at
It's got to be 16 out of 20 points at a minimum.
Yeah.
I think
that's fair. Like, if I'm going to set the floor at 14 for the 9 home games, feel free to win the one road game out of the 10. That's 16 points.
Boy, 14.
Like, and then you got to stay in the race.
Right. What they've got to do is, I mean, you know, it's nuts.
Yeah.
It's almost nuts to be 10 points back. The record it would take would be about 22. And, I mean, let me figure it out here.
What, 70%, gaining 70 plus percent of
your points? To get to 98 points. 98 points is like a 50-50 shot to get there. And 98 points means they get 47 in their next 33 games. You know? Like, that is a...
So that's 47 out of 66.
That is 100. I did this yesterday. It's 116 point pace.
Yeah,
that's better than Boston,
which they were on last year in the 10 game win streak. projected out to at this rate they'll finish with 100 plus
but
points.
You want to get 47 points in 33 games? All right, that's 22. How many games did I say? 22-7-3.
Yeah, so that's
47 points.
Yeah,
22-7-3. Okay, so you got. You know, you've got to do it.
Well, again, this team doesn't play very well on the road. They're not going to have just home games the rest of the season, so they have to really pick up their game away.
They need
their
goaltenders to come up big, and they need special teams, and they're going to need their MVP.
Let me get to Scott in Lancaster. Thanks for holding on, Scott. Go right ahead.
Yeah, your discussion with Hall of Fame.
Yeah. With Eli?
Jim Plunkett had 16 years. I believe 7 with the Patriots and 9 with the Raiders. you'd have to double check. I think he won two Super Bowls. He's not in the Hall of Fame. Nobody cares about Jim Plunkett.
He was also negative on touchdown to interception, 164 to 198.
Yeah, his Jim Plunkett just happened to be the quarterback on two teams that won a Super Bowl. Like, if you look at his numbers, like Jeremy just pointed out, he's got 164 to 198. He's got 25,000 passing yards. Eli's at 57,000. He never had a single season, I think, beyond 20 touchdown passes. His numbers are terrible. Absolutely terrible. There's no way.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah.
Well, the difference is also the era. This is a throwing era. Back then it was not.
But there were guys who played when Plunkett played who have much better numbers than Jim Plunkett. I mean,
I agree. I'm just saying if.
But you're asking why. It's two Super Bowl rings does not automatically get you into the Hall of Fame if you have Jim Plunkett's numbers.
But that's what I'm saying. People just do certain things for their argument. I was just bringing up the one guy. Not a great quarterback, but he's going to have two Super Bowls. He's not in. So Super Bowls alone don't get you in.
No, but again, if you look at Eli, he's top 10 in pass touchdowns. He's top 10 in pass yards. He's got, 344 touchdowns and 200-something interceptions. And, I mean, his numbers are not great, but this is good numbers coupled with two Super Bowl rings for him.
Good numbers in a different era.
Yeah, I know.
That was the point. If you're, you also have to consider era when someone goes.
I do. Yes, I do.
That was all the point.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. Yeah.
No, I mean, like, I think
the numbers right. The numbers have changed over the years for quarterbacks.
And
I get it.
We're both of the belief that Eli probably, maybe, shouldn't go in. I'll listen to both sides. I just have no doubt he's going to.
If you told me he doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, I'm not going to fight you on it. But if you're asking me, will he go in? Now we're thinking about the voters.
Yeah, let me give you you're at a kiosk at a casino and you get to bet.
Oh, I would bet he's going in.
I would bet yes.
Yeah, I mean, I really think he's going to go in. Even if it isn't a first year thing, who knows? Maybe it's one of those things where the voters go, you know, not an obvious slam dunk first year guy, but we'll get him in eventually. I just think you'd be crazy to bet against it because of the numbers coupled with the Super Bowl. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. You can share your thoughts on that. Whatever else is on your mind this morning as we talk a little football with you. We'll talk more about the Senior Bowl and the draft. I think you were probably talking about Daniel Jeremiah's mock a little bit yesterday. We'll get to some of that stuff. And better to forget it. A lot of football to get to. We'll get some Super Bowl stuff in. Props are out for the Super Bowl.
I have a thing I thought about the draft that I cannot unthink about now. About best player available. You know how we talk about this and we kind of fight about it a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Not each other, but the concept. This year is a whole nother animal. I figured something out. I'll run it by you when you get back.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.